First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, from the verse number 15.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
In this chapter 3, Epistle to the Corinthians, First Epistle to the Corinthians, in the verse number 9, this group of believers at Corinth is compared to a building. And in the verse number 9, last part, last line, I read, ye are God's building. The Apostle Paul is naming the Corinthian believers as God's building. And every group of sincere, genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in a location could be called the Church of God or local Church of Christ or God's building. And here in the verse number 16, we have the same concept repeated or amplified. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In every faithful disciple, in every sincere Christian, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God is dwelling in that believer's heart. And when those believers get together and they are united by the Spirit of Christ and they work the work of Christ's gospel, then the same Spirit is in their midst. If the Spirit of God is ruling in each believing heart, then the Spirit of God is leading every faithful congregation. When every believer in that group is following the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord, then there is harmony and there is progress. They all together grow, and the building of God, the temple of God, is being built up. In the verse number 17, if any man defile, or if any man is doing anything contrary to the Spirit's guidance, or according to the deception of the evil spirit, he is making some damage, he is causing some defilement in the holy temple of the Lord, and that direction, that path, is leading to self-destruction. Him or her shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The temple of God is holy, separated for a certain purpose, to serve the Lord, to declare the glories of the Almighty God, to declare the teaching and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to herald the judgment day. These are all holy things. However, if the gospel is presented as a social thing mainly, it's not important to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not important to obey the Almighty God. The most important thing is that we have peace and harmony. We love one another. We please one another. And together, whatever we agree, that's the will of the Lord. This is not the leadership and the rulership of the Holy Spirit. This is democracy. A Christian faith is not democracy. It does teach the harmony of the brothers, but all in the Spirit of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. He is the owner. As soon as we start acting independently, one alone, or all of us together, we are losing ground. We lost the direction. We went astray. We are lost. Let no man deceive himself. Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us not deceive one another. Let us not be deceived. And the following lines are telling us how we can be deceived. What is the deception? If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, the worldly wisdom, the wisdom of the world, instead of the grace of God, it's the psychology. Instead of fellowship in the Spirit of the Lord, it's democracy. Instead of Christ the Master, the congregation is ruling. Or one individual, or a few leaders, whatever it is. When we are not in the Spirit of the Lord, we are out, lost in the world. I'm not saying that the leadership is not necessary. I'm not saying that the Spirit of the Lord has given special ministry to each one so that we all harmonize as one body, each one being a member of that body. What I am saying, that we may not rule by the spirit of the world, but we submit to the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God, the truth of the Gospel, the Holy Scripture, as the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles following the Lord Jesus Christ are teaching, nothing else and nothing less is the foundation and the direction and the way of salvation. Verse 18 again, let no man deceive himself, if any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Here we are instructed, I believe, that there are two kinds of wisdom. The true wisdom by the unconverted world, the world in sin, the true wisdom is considered to be foolishness. And there is the worldly wisdom that is highly esteemed in that unconverted world, and that wisdom is foolishness before God. In other words, the world is considering the temporary values, the material, the physical, and the sinful values as something that is their fulfillment, their goal. They live for that. The Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit and His Word, is teaching us that all of that is temporary, all of that is physically tangible, everything that is man-made, and even that is given to us by the Lord for that temporary use, can only have its lasting value if it is used to serve the Lord. If we use it for anything else, it's lost, and it will not abide forever. The wisdom of Christ the Lord is obedience to the Father, faithfulness to the Word of God, keeping the direction with the assignment, the calling of the Lord given to us. That kind of wisdom is foolishness in the world. What is Paul the Apostle telling to the Corinthians in particular? I know that these words can be used in a general sense as a teaching for all of us, for all the time. The wisdom of the world is foolishness before God, and we should accept the fact that the true wisdom, the wisdom of God, is foolishness in the eyes of the world. And that's our testimony. That's our business here. We are in the business of our Heavenly Father to testify to the world that the foolishness, as they consider the wisdom of God foolishness, that foolishness is much wiser than the wisest things of their foolishness. However, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he has a very precise point in this, and that is, I believe, that some of the Corinthian members, I don't know if I should say believers, I hope they were believers, but maybe they were not, but some of the members of that Corinthian fellowship had the wisdom of the world, and that is, try to attract after yourself a group of believers, and then you have your own group that is supporting you, and you become an outstanding leader, and your constituents is supporting you, and it's growing, and very soon you're going to be very famous, everybody's going to listen to you. That's what happened at Corinth. Not only one of such foolish people, but there was a group, and they were all, each one for himself, and each one against every other. But Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, is very careful not to mention their names, so that none of them could say, see, Paul is writing against me, he knows that I'm a big power here. So these words are telling to the Corinthians and to us today, be not a leader to exploit your fellow believers, but be a servant of Christ, though it might seem as foolishness in the eyes of the world. You be the servant of Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit would guide and lead both you and your fellow believers. In the verse number 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The Lord has arranged the whole universe, and every tiniest part, every atom of that universe has the Lord's arrangement. And the Lord has created everything in such a way that when we are in Christ, we do the will of the Lord. When we are not doing the will of the Lord, we are not walking in the light of His Word, not following the guidance of His Spirit. As He already said in the verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There will be testing. And whatever is not of the wisdom of God, of the spiritual value of the Holy Spirit, is going to be burned, is not going to last, is going to collapse, is going to be manifested as useless and worthless, not honoring the Lord. No wisdom of the world, with all of its craftiness and skill, can deceive the Lord. So, we are called to follow the Lord, and that's why in the verse number 18, Paul told us, let no man deceive himself. In the verse number 21, we see what was a significant part of that deception. Therefore, let no man glory in the men. Let no man, no Christian believer, no disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, consider any other disciple something more or something less but the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless one would prove that he is not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that case, the disciples should consider that sinner nothing more, nothing less, but a sinner that needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light to show the path of salvation to him. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Once again, we are reminded that God has sent His only begotten Son, and the only begotten Son of God has become the living Word, the Word of God, the message of God to us, the mankind. All that believed and obeyed the Word of God, all that believed and obeyed the Son of God, in Christ receive all that Heavenly Father has to offer to the believers. All the wealth of God in earth and in heaven is ours when we are in Christ Jesus. The everlasting future is ours, and this short time future in this life is ours to present the gospel of the Lord. And the everlasting future is ours to praise the Lord forever and ever. The present time of life and the conditions, all the difficulties, all the barriers, all the obstacles, everything is ours in Christ. Everything is another and another opportunity to endure, to witness to the others, to testify to the truth, to live in Christ and for Christ, everything using in His service. So, we are encouraged here to live in Christ, to live to please the Heavenly Father, to glorify His Son. Even death is ours. We use the death of the other people to remind those that are still living in this life that they are going to die also. But that's also a reminder to us. We are going to die. We have but limited time here to serve the Lord. So let us not waste that time on the foolishness of the world, but let us walk in the light and wisdom of our Lord, in obedience to the Heavenly Father, as He revealed to us His will in the Scriptures. Here we read that even the world is ours. Oh, that awful world, that world that is so disobedient, so dark, so violent, so this and so that. No, no. That world, whichever and whatever the condition is, that's our opportunity, our field of work, our battlefield, if you like, where we are battling with the sword of the truth to be the faithful soldiers of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All we know about the Father and the way we know Him as our Heavenly Father is the way it has been revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master, our Savior and our King. That being the truth, Cephas, or the Apostle Peter, he is our apostle, one of the first disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, a great witness, a man just like us, and yet chosen by God and empowered by the Spirit of Christ to declare the truth of the gospel. How wonderful! He is ours. Apollos is another brother of ours, very helpful, very gifted. And someday, Lord willing, we are going to meet him in the kingdom. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, and yet, he argued with the Hebrews all of his life. He is the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the unbelief of the Hebrews, even that inconvenience, that difficulty, even their animosity, he used to reach out to the Gentiles. And they did believe. Even that Apostle Paul is ours. Everything is ours. Remember the story of the two prodigal sons? That story started in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. And then in the verse number 31 of the same chapter, the father is talking to the older prodigal son and saying, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. When we are in Christ, everything is ours. Because the Father is loving what is Christ in us. So we should not allow the spirit of deception, the evil spirit, to deceive us. Look, everybody has more than you. Look, nobody is working as much as you. Look, no one is appreciated as little as you are. Here we see, all is ours. The brothers that are appreciated more are ours. The brothers that are appreciated less are ours. The brothers that are erring are ours. To ones we can show a good example of godliness, and to the others, how do we follow their good example in the Spirit of Christ? We must not allow the spirit of envy, the spirit of deception, the evil spirit to deceive us, that we may think, oh look, Lord Jesus, I served thee so much and so long, and can I get a raise? This kind of thinking is not from the Spirit of the Lord. And I can give my personal testimony at this point, that in the days when I served the Lord with all of my heart, if that ever happened, if I do everything possible, which I know never happened, I never paid to the Lord all that I owed to Him. I never fulfilled all of His will yet. Actually, the longer I walk with the Lord, the longer I serve Him, the more I owe to Him. He always gives me much more than I can offer to Him. In this same chapter, in the verse number 8, we read, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, I do believe that a portion of that reward is here in this life. Even laboring in Christ is self-rewarding. We cannot avoid that. Working for the Lord is a joy, is a pleasure, is a power of the Spirit working in us. And we must be thrilled that the Lord is using this feeble vessel that I am to do something so wonderful and great as the will of the Father presented to us and fulfilled in Christ the Lord. But that is not all. There is that eternal, everlasting reward, the kingdom of glory. And that's also going to be given to everyone according to his own labor, not measured by ounces and pounds and tons, but measured according to this one and most important and the only rule in our spiritual life and service to the Lord. If I labor in Christ's Spirit, my reward is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is life everlasting, life in glory forever and ever. If I am laboring with any other intention, any other perspective, any other goal, if I am laboring foolishly in the wisdom of the world, well, that's damage. It's going to be burnt up. And if the Lord will allow me to see, if the Lord will compel me to see my own loss in the damage that I made, and if I submit to the guidance of the Lord's Spirit and the truth of the gospel, and I repent, and I deeply regret my wrongdoing, and if I repent and turn to the Lord, I'll be saved as through the fire. But if not, in the gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, from the verse number 21, I read, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think here is a strong message, a very important teaching for all of us Corinthians or not. The most important thing is not to control the others, but to watch my own work and pray for my wisdom, wisdom of God, and to keep me free from the foolish wisdom of the world, that I may follow the Lord Jesus Christ and do His will, that I may understand that I'm not a leader but a disciple and a servant, that I'm not supposed to sign my name to everything that I work. It's already signed and sealed by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that will write my name in the book of life in heaven, not I myself. The most important assignment and task that I have in this lesson is that I do not participate in any self-honoring teaching, service, work, program, anything that does not have Christ as the Lord, at the same time our reward. The lesson number two is not to exalt, not to support, not to consider any brother more than just a brother in Christ. Any sister, nothing more than a sister in Christ. At the same time, I may not despise anyone to consider him or her something less than brother or sister in Christ the Lord. Never to support the mixture of the teaching of Christ and the foolishness of the world, no matter how wise it might appear. We might be tempted, just like the Corinthians nowadays, to make a mixture of the worldly teaching and some fractions, some little parts of the Word of God. Something like in the days before the great flood. The people of God and the people of the world, they had children that were giants. Even today, gigantic so-called churches are founded on the human teaching with a little bit of nuggets of the Word of God. What happened to those colossal giants before the great flood? What happened to them in the flood? They all perished. Today's giants are going to perish too. But the humble followers of the humble teacher of Nazareth are going to endure to the end and be glorified in His glory. Yes, here will be humiliation and suffering and comfort and joy when we see a sinner repenting and turning to the Lord, following the way of meekness and humbly submitting to the guidance and lordship of our loving Lord. Reading this passage, I think we might be also reminded when we see someone teaching falsely or going in the wrong direction, especially if that is somehow hurting us personally. We might be tempted to make a big and quick judgment. Oh, he is lost forever. He blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. He or she is never going to be forgiven. No, no, no. Leave the judgment to the Lord. Be patient. Be kind. And wait for the Lord. And of course, in every opportunity, share the truth of the gospel. tell the truth in love, with godly concern, and pray to the Lord continually. Never take the final judgment in our hands. It's in the hand of God. Yes, we did read in the verse number 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's true, and it will happen exactly like that. And we remember also that the Lord Jesus Christ said in his teaching, this is all his teaching, but as he was teaching the disciples and the other people listening, if anyone will deny me before this world, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. Well, all the disciples denied. Peter himself denied three times. And the Lord gathered them all. And the Lord restored them all. And the Lord made them great apostles of the gospel. Yes, the Word of God is the truth. Nothing wrong in the Word of God. And the gospel is teaching us that everything has been marked one way or another with genuine repentance and turning to the Lord, or the lack of it. So we trust in the Lord. And no matter how much disaster we see, no matter how much apostasy, no matter how little of the acknowledging the Word of God as such, we should see the constant and continuous victory of the Spirit of God in all of the world. The Word of God is not going to return to Him empty or void. It's going to accomplish everything that God has appointed to be accomplished. So all is ours. When we are in Christ and Christ is in us, all is ours. Paul, Apollos, Peter, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them, Stephen, the whole world is ours. This life is ours. And death is our quick bridge from the here and now to the everlasting. Whatever happened now, we are Christ, and Christ is ours. All is ours when we are Christ's, because Christ is God's Son, our Savior, our Lord, our Owner forever.